Bienvenidos al podcast del Instituto Fe y Libertad. En este espacio conversamos con expertos y analizamos posturas sobre economía, religión, libertad y más.
So welcome to a new episode of podcast Fe y Libertad. Today we speak with Joan Quintana, a specialist in providing support to small and medium-sized communities and businesses seeking to grow and contribute to a strong economy. Joan is an example of a businesswoman, entrepreneur, author, and wife, mom, and also a grandma. She lives with coherence between economic principles and a Catholic purpose-driven life. She works at AdventGX, an organization focused on sustainable economic development and community innovation. In this interview, we will discuss her upcoming book, her work, and the importance of strategy in institutions that work with ideas and their impact on the community. My name is Olga Orozco. I'm a lawyer, professor, co-creation facilitator, and also a wife and mom. And I am a member of Instituto Fe y Libertad. So welcome, Joan. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm really great. I'm really delighted to be here and to see you and spend time with you today. You're so dear to me and we don't often get to spend time together. So this is special.
Thanks for that. That's true. And I also appreciate a lot our time together. So this is great. It's a great opportunity for me and for all the people that listen to this podcast, because we know the importance of your work and we're very excited about your new book. Is it already published?
It's not. It's actually, manuscript is completed. I have some people reading it for me at this point, and I'm trying to decide the best approach to releasing it. I've got some different ideas. I'm not sure I'm going to go a traditional route. So I appreciate this opportunity actually to revisit it. I very intentionally set it aside and let other people read it for a while. I'm a writer, and I really understand the need to let your writing rest, and you have to get away from it so that you can see it with fresh eyes. So I've been doing that and letting other people look at it and give me feedback. And then as I was preparing for this conversation and looking back at it, at the book, I really am grateful to the Lord for the download, because I really felt like it was a download from the Lord for the book, but also just for seeing it with fresh eyes. I reread the introduction this morning and it gave me some interesting ideas for how I might release it. So we'll see. We might just do this as a community instead of as a traditional approach. So we'll see.
Excellent. That doesn't surprise me at all. As I said in the introduction, you are an innovator and always been. I think that's part of who you are. So I'm really looking forward of the way that you're going to do this. So your book, it addresses the importance of strategy in managing ideas. What motivated or inspired you to write it? Likewise, what do you hope it inspires in others?
You know, I've had the real privilege to work with a lot of different types of experts over the course of my career. All of them innovators in their context, whether that was an engineer or of some kind, or a scientist, or even a business person who was bringing ideas to the marketplace or a product to the marketplace, or in more recent years, working with a lot of nonprofits and also even community leaders, so mayors and economic developers who are trying to do something different in their community, all of them toward the goal of making the world a little bit better. Maybe it's they're making their neighborhood better, or they've got this new widget that's going to make life easier for somebody, or they have ideas that they know that if they could communicate clearly would make people's lives better, right? And that's what think tanks do. They think about really hard problems and figure out ways to communicate better ways of operating in the world to people who are just doing the operating in the world, right? Not everybody gets to think in a think tank and work in a think tank. But the common thread there, and I think one of the drivers for putting this book out in the world, is that all of those innovators all of those people who are trying to do something to make the world a better place need a way to get from all of the ideas in their head to a plan to actually implement. And not only do they need a strategy, there's tons of books on strategy, right? This is not a new concept to write a book on how to define a sound business strategy or strategic plan or whatever. But I think what's missing from a lot of those other books is a core truth that Jose and I, my husband, my life partner, my business partner, have come to understand, and really Jose has taught me, is that you can't do anything successfully without community. All of it relies upon having community, understanding the community you're seeking to serve, and then having community around you that can help you refine, clarify, understand your circumstances, and then build a plan that everybody owns, everybody appreciates, everybody's contributed to, that they will in turn help to execute. So when you build a strategy, often what'll happen, or you build maybe a strategic plan, think of it that way, a team will come together and they'll have a workshop, right? And they'll brainstorm, and then they'll put a calendar up on the wall and they'll say, okay, we brainstormed. These are the things that came to the top. Let's just do it. This is our plan. And maybe if they're really intentional with their time, they'll revisit that plan from time to time and see if they're executing it. That's typically what happens. That's what we see happens in economic development when communities seek to build an economic development strategy. That's what I see happen in laboratories across universities that are trying to build technology and bring it to the marketplace, is they go through the motions, but they don't gather the experts and the customers and the colleagues around them to enable them to actually do what it is they think they want to do to actually achieve the vision. And so this is our 20th anniversary of Advent GX, our company. We've been doing this process and refining this process over the last 20 years. Really, Jose's designed our strategy deployment process. It's probably been 30 years that he's been doing it, but I've been involved for 20 years. And it was time. It was a milestone for us. And also we just see the need, especially in the cultural climate that we have today, for people to get back to community, to get back to dependence on their neighbors. And not dependence in a sense of you have an obligation to make my life better, not in a negative way, but more relying on one another and locking arms and listening to and learning from one another and saying, okay, we can do this. And we're always better in community.
That's very interesting. It actually is. And I like a lot that you make sure about telling us why this is not another strategy book. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fresh view towards it. So in the context of think tanks and other knowledge center organizations, what role do hospitality in this line and human relationships play in the process of successfully implementing strategies?
So it's great. I love that you bring up hospitality because again, going back to the world we're operating in, it's more and more common that, you know, we're hopping on ChatGPT or whatever, choose your AI, and asking for advice. And we think we're having a conversation, right? And I'm guilty. I do this, right? I think it's productive. It helps me brainstorm. It's great, right? I do this. It is not human. And we need to remember that. And we also kind of remain behind our screens and we get separated by likes and dislikes by algorithms and divided. And all of these things are real challenges that are coming against us in the world. And especially when you're dealing with the market of ideas and sharing knowledge, I think it's critical that you have around you a group of people who maybe aren't even inclined to agree with you. Maybe especially a group of people who aren't inclined to agree with you, because that's that iron sharpening iron that we all need. I need to be able to talk about my ideas, share my ideas, and have somebody respectfully, kindly ask me hard questions and make them better, right? That's how I get better. That's how we as a human race get better, is by sharing ideas, pushing back on one another, asking questions with genuine curiosity, right? We should not ask questions with the aim of shaming somebody. We should ask questions with a desire to learn, with genuine curiosity to understand where they're coming from. And I think that's especially important in the world of think tanks and nonprofits, because when you're talking about ideas, and the goal isn't just to talk about ideas, right? Just like the goal isn't just to build a widget. The goal is to do something with those ideas. The goal is to accomplish something, make the world better. You have to really get clear on those ideas. You have to really get clear on what it is, the problem, well, what the problem is that you're trying to solve, but also the impact that you're hoping to have. You have to get clear about that. And you do not get clear on ideas in a vacuum. You need people around you. And you need people of diverse ideas and perspectives and experiences. And so I think it's even more important. And so when we talk about hospitality, we place a really high priority on hosting people. Literally just informally around the table, come have dinner. We do Wine Wednesdays. This time of year in Texas, where I live, it's coming to the point where we can have people out on the back deck again and, you know, have a fire. In summertime in Texas, you don't do that, but we're back in that season. And so hospitality, hosting people, sharing a meal, sharing communion, have a glass of wine, Jose prefers whiskey, you know, whatever, and having conversations, inviting people in who maybe you don't know, and being courageous enough to and humble, right? Like, to share your ideas and, you know, invite people to share theirs and see, you know, sometimes sparks fly. That's okay. Like, that's okay. Have a conversation and let the iron sharpen the iron. So I think hospitality is really key.
I agree with you. And mostly about, like, nowadays, people, I think, are getting away from these open-ended questions, this real curiosity. All this thing about cancellation and to stop, like, there's a lot of aiming to stop free speech. So I think this is very important, what you just said, and it's related to hospitality, to curiosity, and it's a process. So here's the thing. In your book, you talk about the phases of a good strategy deployment process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real, I think that's what moved you, right? To do the book, because it's like, okay, those are great ideas. Now, how are you going to do it? So can you please explain how these phases apply to organizations that work with complex ideas, such as think tanks or educational institutions, and how these strategies can influence human flourishing?
Of course. So I'll start with the name of the process. So we talk about strategy deployment. We say that intentionally. We use the word deploy as opposed to strategy development, because to deploy something means you're going to put it out there in the world and do something with it. And so from the very beginning, this whole exercise of developing a strategy, of defining how to move forward, is aimed at deploying the strategy, like execute. Right. And I alluded to this earlier, that so often strategies, we call them shelf strategies. We go through the exercise, we put them on a shelf, and then in a year, we might look at it again. And that's not what we are advocating for at all. What we're advocating for is, again, surrounding yourself, gathering the people around you, the subject matter experts, the customers, the end users, in the case of the community, maybe, and when I say that, like actual, your local community that you're seeking to impact as a nonprofit, the people who are going to be the recipients of the information that you tend to put out, or the training, or whatever form the sharing of ideas might take, you gather those people from the get-go, from the very beginning of your strategy deployment process, and you engage them so that you're hearing from them throughout. You're getting a real understanding of the situation. So just as a high level summary, there's phases, right? So in the beginning, we talk about readiness. Like, are you even ready to invest the time and energy and resources in developing a strategy, right? So as an organization, that's an investment. And you should not go down that path just to waste your time and put something on the shelf. It truly is a waste of time. And so better to spend some time, and we use the VREL tool. So VREL was developed by Dr. David Flint, and we interjected that into our process probably seven or so years ago now. And it's been a game changer because it's a really quick way, the VREL tool, to understand and help our customers understand how it is that they can create value in the world and what might be getting in the way of that. So what are the hindrances and what can they do about it? And how does this look in over time? Do you have enough time to really create the value that you want to create and make the difference you want to create, time, resources, and whatnot? And so VREL stands for value, rareness, eroding factors, enabling factors, and longevity. And you can look that up, and there's lots of resources online, but we start there really. Often we start there because what we want to encourage people to do is to understand and get some clarity about what is it they're trying to accomplish? What is it like? What are you planning for? Right? What are you trying to accomplish? And invite a few people in on that conversation to help you refine and get clarity and realize that, well, maybe I don't have my management buy-in to invest in this strategy. Maybe they're not going to give me the time I need to conduct research. Maybe I don't have enough clarity on my ideas. Maybe I just need to stay here in VREL for a while and really get clear on what it is I'm trying to accomplish and why, right? So you can go through the VREL process, and it's very valuable and productive, and use that until you're ready to do what I would consider this full strategy deployment process. And it will be productive. And so we encourage that. So we start there. Are you ready? Do you have the resources? And then we move on to, okay, so here we go. We've decided we're going to go down this path. We're going to develop the strategy. And so we're going to start by understanding our environment. So we do all the things that everybody tells you have to do when you're developing a strategy, right? You have to understand the environment. You have to look at what are my resources internally and what's happening in the world outside of me and how do I fit into it in the context and who's my competition and all those things. So we do research, right? Very familiar. And then with all of that research, we prepare, and the centerpiece of our process is a workshop. And this comes back to community. Every stage of the way, by the way, we're bringing in community. So research, you reach out to subject matter experts, people who maybe want to be part of the implementation of this vision down the road, right? You're meeting people, you're talking to people about your vision, you're constantly talking about what you want to do. And in the talking about what you want to do, you're refining and you're listening and you're hearing ways that you can adjust or adapt, right? Based on what you're learning through the research. So you're building your community the whole time. And in effect, you're, to date myself, you're building your Rolodex, right? Your contacts list should be growing through the research process. And then when it's time to have a workshop, you can invite some of those people to join in the actual retreat process of really visioning and capturing what we call capturing the voice of the customer. So who's the customer? And in the case of nonprofits, and probably especially think tanks, but all nonprofits, there's not just one customer, right? There's the donors, right? There's the people who might give you grants, which is a different kind of donor. And then there's the end user who's going to be the recipient. That's a different customer. And you have to consider all of this. So it is complicated. It's very complex. Just in the nonprofit space, it's complex because you have multiple customers, but then your ideas, the things that you're trying to to share and communicate and influence with people with, this can also be a little bit complex. And so getting clarity by really listening to the customer through that workshop setting, having invited the players along the way through the strategy deployment process, is key to really understanding and be able to capture what we call the voice of the customer, capture their needs, capture their wants, their desires. And so we do that through the workshop, through some facilitation techniques that we describe in the book. And then the last step is then, okay, we've heard a lot. We've collected a lot of information and data. And then you got to stop and take the time and take it all in. It's over. It can be overwhelming, right? To like, okay, what do I know now? Right? Like, what have I discovered? And sometimes the discoveries are obvious and you have like real aha moments. And other times it requires really combing through data and like learning what it has to teach you. And so it just looks different depending on circumstance, right? But you have to go through that process of analyzing and then formulating and documenting and putting together your strategy deployment document. And in our case, we really like to produce a poster. Like it's a spreadsheet. It's a really crazy spreadsheet, but it maps the process and it shows you the priorities and it indicates based on different customers' perspectives, like different audiences care about different things. And you need to remember that when it comes time to deploy your strategy, you need to remember that one stakeholder group, say donors, might care very differently or prioritize a portion of your strategy very differently than say a secondary user who might be like the local government, right? In fact, there might be some real disagreement there, right? You need to know that. And so the way we present our strategy is in a poster that kind of keeps all of this information front and center so you can glance at it and say, this is where I should be. This is the process. And oh, by the way, I'm getting ready to go talk to donors today. Let me look at this real quick and remind myself, what do they particularly care about? And let me shape my communication to their priorities, right? And let me remember what they didn't care about or maybe what was contentious for them. So I can address that too, right? So you have to, the way we document this plan process allows us to keep those things front and center throughout the course of deploying the strategy. So those are the four stages. That was a very long-winded answer. But in every case, we're engaging community. We're bringing people around us. We're our colleagues, our collaborators, our customers all come together. And then in the end, once you're done, you announce it, you communicate it. Hey, you all contributed to this plan. And you share it with the world and you celebrate that. And then you go. And because you've engaged them the whole time, and you've brought on new friends and I guess welcomed new people into the community through the research process, guess what? Now you have people who are ready to go. Like they're ready to do this with you because they've had a hand in designing the strategy going forward and they felt heard, right? And oh, by the way, because you listened, your strategy is going to be more effective, right? Like it's just, that's how it works. So, and you're healthier because you have more people around you. So. It's good.
There is a sense of ownership, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
That's great. I liked a lot that in each section of your book, it's supported by stories from innovators you have worked with and how to make it like the real stories, the people who have done it, who you worked with the last 20 years. Which of these stories resonates the most with you? And why do you think it's relevant for those interested in how ideas drive social change?
Yeah, this is a hard one for me to decide. Honestly, it was hard to decide even what stories to put in the book, but there's probably two, and quickly, the one I think that most resonates, it's probably the most nostalgic, is when I talk in the book about the Van Horn economic development strategy we did. And Van Horn's a tiny little community in far west Texas. I think there's like 2,800 souls live there, something like that. Their population doubles overnight because people come and stay in the hotel rooms on their way somewhere else, right? But they had a really big thing happen in their community about 20 years ago when Blue Origin, so Jeff Bezos, who is Amazon, right? He also started Blue Origin, which is a space launch company, right? Experimenting with different kinds of rockets and these kinds of things. Well, he bought up a bunch of land and established Blue Origin about 25 miles north of tiny little Van Horn, which is an appropriate place to launch rockets because there's nothing out there, right? But this was a game changer, and tiny little dusty Van Horn wasn't ready, right? So we engaged with them and we engaged the community and we went through our entire process of research and listening and talking to people in our workshops and all of the things. And it was just amazing to hear the dreams and aspirations of this community and like what was kind of breaking their heart about children leaving and not having, you know, they had to leave to go somewhere else to have a livelihood and these kinds of things. And imagine the possibilities by this industry suddenly looking their direction and making a really substantial investment in this part of, in their region. And so I look back at that and it's nostalgic because it's probably one of the first times I went through the whole process, but it's also looking back, you know, recently we were able to go back to Van Horn. It's like a 10-hour drive from where I live. So Texas is huge. And so, we were able to go back and some of the projects that became key priorities for the community as we're defining their strategy, were like a historic hotel that needed to actually be a historic hotel. And it wasn't operating in that capacity at the time. And then just training up some of the tradespeople who really didn't know proper invoicing techniques or business practices and things like that, because they were going to have the opportunity to really grow and become, you know, next level businesses, by serving the needs of this major enterprise that was coming in. And so we were able to identify those needs and listen, and then also really build relationships there. And to look back now, it's probably been, I don't know, 20 years, 17 years hence, and see that a lot of those strategies have been implemented. And so many people are in profoundly different places than they were. Van Horn's still a tiny town, right? They're probably going to be a tiny town for a long time, but they are able to respond and new things are happening and their schools are better and the job opportunities are different. And they're figuring out how to welcome these people who are coming from other parts of the country to work and sometimes live and move into the community. And so that is really powerful for me, because what we did is we listened well. We did our research, but more than anything, we listened and we documented and kind of made sure we were hearing what people were really saying and then helped them form a strategy to do that. But then the second one I'll share, I think is really important from the ideas perspective, is Forge Leadership Network. We worked with them. They're a nonprofit out of Ohio, and we worked with them to formulate their strategy as a really kind of fledgling, really young at the time, nonprofit that really focuses on youth development. So they work with 18 to 25 year olds who have the aspiration to serve in the public square, and they don't quite know why they believe what they believe, right? They're conservatives. They're mostly Christian, not necessarily. They have this sort of call, if you will, to serve, but they're really not as perhaps well-formed as they should be intellectually and spiritually to step into such a difficult space, right? And so what Forge is focused on is training up the next generation of leaders, like a farm team, if you will, to serve in the public square, leaders who are really rooted and grounded in strong spiritual values, faith values, virtue, and they can explain why their more conservative values are what's best, right? They can explain that. They can defend their ideas, right? Which is hard to do, right? So, and especially when you're 18 to 25. And they're developing, the long term here is a network of people who community. They're building a community of people who will hold one another accountable, who will be iron sharpening iron, and who will be there when the going gets tough, when it's really challenging. And so in working with Forge, we had the opportunity to go through the entire process and bring together stakeholders and have the workshop and really understand their vision for this organization and help them refine it. And then we were able to lay out a strategy. And in this case, we only focused on a few years because we knew a lot would change in those few years because of where they were as an organization. And they pretty much executed to a T that strategy. And now they're at a totally different place, a totally different stage as an organization. And it's obviously for us, it's just really encouraging and fun. And so I don't know, it's an honor. Like, who gets to do this, right? It's an honor to get to step in and come alongside people when they're trying to make important decisions and help them work through the process to do that and build the community around them, help them build the community around them, so that they can be successful. And that's key. So in that case, we've gotten to be part of that community going forward, which is also really special. But I think that ideas in particular require even more engagement of your community, even more engagement of your customers and your stakeholders, more frequent, more routine listening and feedback, because communication is challenging. And it's always a mistake to assume that people heard what you said, right? And so I think for think tanks, one of the real dangers in a think tank is that you just keep thinking, right? Like, you keep generating all of these amazing like ideas, but you got to deliver them out there somewhere towards some end, right? And not only do you have to deliver them out there, but you have to have some way or mechanism to ensure that their landing is intended. Like, people are hearing what you intend for them to hear, and you're actually communicating. And so community helps with that. And hospitality, like you referred to earlier, helps with that. Just keeping people, bringing them back together and in person, I think is actually very important.
Yes, I agree with you. So like the examples you gave, those are amazing. I don't think there's a lot of people who's lucky enough to see the impact of the ideas or the impact in a community, like real life impact of your tool. I mean, I think that you're very lucky to see that. And I know that there is a lot of hard work behind it. Mm. So I think this goes in the line with what I said at the beginning, that you're living like a purpose life.
Yes.
And I think the Trailblazer's Guide to Strategy, that's the name of the book, by the way.
Yes.
Actually, it's I don't know. I think it's just a proof of guiding all the education, all the things you've got into a purpose-driven life. What do you think about it? Am I correct?
It could be. Sure. I think it's a way to, I think it is, it's an approach to uncovering that purpose, clarifying that purpose. I don't think somebody's going to pick up Trailblazer's Guide to Strategy if they don't have something stirring in them, right? They have something they want to do. Maybe they don't have clarity on it yet. Maybe they don't have a really honest picture or accurate picture of the resources they have available to them yet. Maybe they need to build this community around themselves. But I do think that it's all about purpose. It's all about the other, right? I think it's very, very important to me. And I'm grateful every day for the gift of working with my husband, who provides that sort of, not only just a sounding board, but the mirror, the reflection, so that I can be reminded that, why are we doing this? I'm not doing it for me. I don't want this to be about me. And we all need people in our lives who can remind us when we're like getting a little too self-centered, right? And so what is the tagline of the book? I shouldn't be asking you this. I'm going to look. So the tagline of the book is how leaders, innovators, and doers build community, grow economies, and make a better world. Well, why do I want a better world? Okay, selfishly, because I have four grandchildren and I really, really pray to God that they're going to live in a world that's better than the one I grew up in. I grew up in a great world. And it can be better, right? We're pursuing good. We're pursuing better. And it is getting better. The world has gotten better. And I think that it's so easy to get bogged down in what is a lie. The world is better. It's better than it was 10 years ago. It's better than it was 2 years ago. It's getting better every day. We have cause to be optimistic, and especially if we can be disciplined and surround ourselves with people who will help us to continue to focus on the other and to make the world better using the resources available to us, our individual talents, our gifts, whatever, our homes, what we have is enough. And I think of fishes and loaves. So often people, whether they're starting a think tank, starting a business, or just opening their home. Like, I shouldn't even put just in front of that. Opening their homes, right? To share a meal. What you have is enough to start with. And I think the key, and one of the things that we really focus on in our strategy deployment process, going all the way back to the very beginning, looking at your resources and capabilities, what do you have to work with? You combine those with the people around you, and it is unique. And as you look at that and really assess it, and you bring it wholeheartedly and humbly to your community, and you say, hey, what can we do? What can we do with these ideas? Can we do with this knowledge? What can we do with this invention? How do we make the world a better place? What's the need out there? And you bring it, just like that little sheepish boy brought fishes and loaves, and that's all he had. It will be multiplied for the good if you keep your aim good and you make sure it's about the other. It's not about you, right? Everything that we have is for the other. And if we're just willing to give it all away, and obviously I'm a free market person, so we have to sustain these things, right? They need to make sense financially. But if we're willing to do that, gosh, that's where the flourishing happens. It just does. It just does. And it's beautiful. And we have cause for hope. And so we surround ourselves with the community. We're reminded of the good and reminded of the person in front of you is more important than you. And life just gets better that way. It's good.
No, that's great, Joe. I agree with you. Really, thanks. And thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today and sharing all this knowledge. It's been a pleasure hearing about your work, your upcoming book, and strategy plans such a place, such a vital role in organizations that aim to create lasting impact. Your experience and reflections have given us a lot to think about. And now we just want to hear more from you. Like, let us know, when is this when does this gem comes out? And we really hope we can continue.
Thank you. I hope to continue the conversation as well. And, you know, I do think one important point, I'll end on this. When I do release the book, we get the timing right and the approach right, it's important for people to realize that it's a guide. It's a guide. It's written as a field guide. This is a book that is a resource that we hope people will return to and maybe read it through the first time. But it's bullet points and lists and approaches. And it really is a field guide for trailblazers, for people who are willing to be at the tip of the spear and a way to bring people around them. So thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
No, really, thanks to you. To our audience, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy this conversation as much as we did. Don't forget to follow us on social media, where we continue to dialogue on philosophy, politics, economics, and how ideas shape our world. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. We look forward to having you with us again next time.